This is chapel for September 25th, 1962. Jim Edwards of the Student Coordinating Council and Dr. Staley are conducting our services.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his ways are unsearchable. May we bow in prayer. Eternal and majestic God, loving and forgiving and gracious Heavenly Father, again we would honestly praise thy name, seeking to magnify it above our present understanding. We recognize that thou art above all that we can know, that thou art beyond any words we have to try to describe thee, that even him whom we worship, Jesus the Christ, looked unto thee, sought thy grace, thy presence, thy favor, thy guidance. May we, in consciousness of him as our leader, look also ever beyond what we are, what we see, what we know, for the greater fullness that may be found in thee. Bless, we pray thee this morning, those of us who worship here. Quiet our hearts, still our restless spirits, subdue our foolish ambitions, and may we strive only to understand thy will and thy purpose and to surrender ourselves to them. Bless our denomination in these days when many problems of earth beset us. May we look steadfastly unto thee, never forgetting that we have been called by thy voice to ways that are different, to actions that are right and kind and gracious. Bless especially those in our number who need thy forgiving grace, thy comforting presence, thine eternal wisdom. Bless those who lead this nation. May guidance be given them in relationship with all nations and with all people. May we never forget that we shall not think right until we think with thee, that we shall never escape eccentricities until we center ourselves, our wills, our purposes in thee. And our Heavenly Father, in ways that we know not how to pray, because we know not our deepest needs, in the fullness of thy grace and wisdom wilt thou understand and answer our real needs in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. I am sorry that Dr. Swore, after he got to the state, decided that the trip from Greensboro to here would add too much to his schedule. He has a busy speaking and writing schedule in Greensboro, and although the pastor of the church had made arrangements for him to come to be with us this morning, Dr. Swore found it necessary to cancel those arrangements, and he is not here. This leaves us a day for ourselves. Sometimes we need such days. There are many matters that pertain to us as a seminary, as a faculty and student body together. And one of the things that we should consider, I'm sure, is going to be presented to us now in words from our student government president, Brother J.D. Edwards. We will listen to him for a moment, and I hope with keen attention.
Recently, many of us have felt a prayerful concern for those Christians of South Georgia whose churches have been destroyed by fire. Last week, we heard one of our pastors suggest that others should join these folks in helping to rebuild their houses of worship. A few contributions have already been received, and a fund has been set up for this purpose. Several members of our faculty and student body have indicated an interest in contributing to this fund. The opportunity of making such a gift will be presented us on Thursday of this week, September the 27th. On that day, there will be ushers after the chapel service standing at the door to receive our gifts. This offering will be sent to Dr. Roy McLean, who will see that it is used in the most beneficial manner. There will be very little time for us to publicize this matter. Therefore, we are asking each of you to take it as your own responsibility to help us spread the word to every person on our campus. It is our hope that every member of our seminary family will see fit to participate in this offering. These folks are assuredly our brothers and our sisters in Christ. They stand in need, and it is our Christian responsibility to do what we can to help them. I believe that even more than our responsibility, we will consider it a distinct privilege to share with them what God has given to us. Let's make this a matter of prayer and sacrificial giving as we seek to express the genuine Christian concern which we feel in our hearts. Remember, the offering to help rebuild the four Negro churches in South Georgia will be taken this coming Thursday after chapel, September the 27th. Thank you.
I would add as emphatically as I can my own words of support for this project on the part of our student body and our whole seminary family. Those of you who have heard the news this morning heard that still another church was burned, though the pastor says there is no reason to suppose that white incendiarists set fire to it. A church was burned near Macon, Georgia last night. I think that it will mean much to us and to all who are influenced by any of us if this seminary supports this movement. I'm going to make it fairly easy for the seniors and the faculty to participate on Thursday because we're going to have our first senior coffee break on Thursday after chapel. And the money you would ordinarily spend for coffee and donuts you can easily give, and I hope you can multiply it several times in the offering. All of those who are to graduate this year, some of you will be finishing your work in January, some in May, some at the end of June, and some at the end of July. But any of these who will be finishing your work at this time are invited to the coffee break as soon as chapel is over on Thursday morning. I have been asked several times last year, and again it has begun this year, if students must accept everything that they hear in classes here. Certainly not. It would be rather bad if you accepted everything, considering that there are some 30 or 35 of us on the faculty, and one of our joys is that we, each one, is or are different. You are perfectly free to hold to the ideas and interpretations and doctrines that seem right to you. It is required, however, that you understand what we try to put forth in class, and so whatever theory, for example, rituals theories in theology, should be understood. They may be rejected by you, but they should be understood, and you should pass the examinations. If you want to, when you have written an examination, you have a perfect right at the foot of the paper to say, I have answered these questions in accordance with the theories of the men involved and of the professor, with all of whom I totally disagree. We do present varied ideas, and some will be new. I used to talk a great deal when I was teaching in the seminary in Louisville about Podunk County. I don't know where it is. Sometimes I used Talladega County because I thought there was no such county, but I have learned later that there is such a county in Alabama. The ideas of Podunk County, or perchance of Talladega County, or perhaps of Pottawatomie County, where I came from in Oklahoma, are valid there, but not necessarily valid all around the world. It is good to get other ideas, I think, and to give them fair and proper consideration. But if you come with ideas which to you are firm and right, then hold on to those ideas. And especially would I say to all of you, I know that unless you came from a very strange county indeed, you were taught to respect the church, to love the church. You were taught to pray and to count as very valuable the hours you could spend in prayer. You believed in some of the simple things of religion. These things are still valid, I would assure you of that. And whatever you have been taught in your home, that means worshipfulness and right religion and rightness of heart. Believe me, we want to sustain them here, and we want you to practice them here. There are many new things that are valid, but there are also many wonderful old things that will never be transcended or bypassed. And then I am sure that we are conscious of the problems of our day, not only the great international and national problems, but problems that are much closer home. I was thinking again, if you will let me mix that which might be called humorous with a very serious intent, of my favorite story, which I heard so many years ago in a little church in Brown County, Indiana. The Methodist preacher and I had been asked to come out to a high school commencement, and we went. Each of us was to have quite a bit of time on the program. But 10:30 came, and the students and faculty and school itself were still carrying on their part of the program. It happened that Dr. McLean and I were behind some palms, and our misbehavior would not be especially noticed. And he put his hand on my knee and said, Sid, have you ever heard the story of the little boy that wanted to shoot his granddaddy's muzzle-loading gun? And I hadn't. And so, unseen by the audience, and I hope unheard also, he told me about the little boy, 6 years old, who one day noticed the old gun on deer antlers up over the door of his grandfather's farm home out on the edge of an Indiana town. And he wanted to shoot it, and he yeah-yeah'd and cried, and Granddaddy said, no, you're not going to shoot it, you're too little. He said, that gun kicks like a bay steer. And the boy yeah-yeah'd some more, and Granddaddy did the right thing and said, absolutely no. But he said, when you get to be 10 years old, of course you'll be bigger, and if you'll come see me when you're 10, I'll let you shoot the old gun. And the years went by, and the 10th birthday came, and the boy hadn't forgotten, and he went out to grandmother's and granddaddy's place. Granddaddy wasn't there. He said, grandmother, you know I can shoot that old gun today. And she said, yeah, I remember granddaddy promised you. And she got the old thing down off the deer antlers and dusted off the outside of it. I've always wondered what might have been on the inside of that barrel. And she got him a can of wadding and a can of powder and some bullets, and she showed him how you rammed the things home. And she said, now you go out there and ram you home a load of powder and wadding and shot and wadding, and then shoot off toward the orchard. Don't shoot toward the barn, because you really might hit something. And he got out there and rammed home the load. And he remembered. He said, "Granddaddy said that thing kicked like a bass deer. I believe I'd just rather load her as I would to shoot her." And he rammed home another load, and it wasn't full, and he rammed home another load, and it wasn't full. And so altogether, he rammed home five loads. And grandmother was getting the buck eager in the kitchen. The gun hadn't gone off, so she goes outside, you know, and sees him sitting on the ground with the gun on his lap. And she said, "What's the matter? You haven't shot the old gun." He said, "No, ma'am." She said, "What's the matter? Are you scared to shoot it? Here, you give it to Grandmama and let her shoot it." And so she picked it up and aimed it toward the orchard and pulled the trigger and went head over heel several times, rolling on the grass. And the little boy decided that this wasn't a very good place for him to be right then. He started home. But as he started, he ran by and leaned over Grandmama and he said, "Get up and run, Grandmama, quick, because there's four more loads in that thing to go off yet." And so many times, I think, not only when I am delayed in appearing on a program, but concerning the problems that confront us. Here a problem hits, and before you can get up off from the ground from that shot, well, here comes another one. And it seems that the world is just about loaded with problems now. And then, quite seriously, I would say that our country stands in serious need of our prayers and of the prayers of all Christians. We know that. Our international situation, our world, the people of Africa, the people of South America, the people of Asia, wherever you look, there are deep and complicated problems. And I am of the opinion that we will never begin to answer those problems until we center our thinking in God. I think about the wisest words I have seen or heard came from a friend of mine, and he has written now two or three times, each time insisting that somehow I get this clear in my mind, that it is not the existential situation which we should begin our studies with, as important as the situation in which we find ourselves is, but that any real answer to the existential situation will come from one who starts his thinking with consideration of God. Begin each day with God. Look up to Him in prayer. Lift up thy heart to His abode and seek His love to share. And one can put His wisdom to share, His word to share. Now then, may I suggest to you just a few things that I would ask you to remember in your prayers, that you come to the prayer rooms here or go into the little chapel, as it is open especially at two times each day, 12 and 4, and that you would consider our nation, its leaders, the leaders of all the other countries and continents of the world first, then our denomination. Beginning on Thursday, the Board of Trustees of the Midwestern Seminary is meeting, and as many of you know, they are considering what is usually called the Elliott matter, but it is a matter of deepest concern to every Southern Baptist, and I think to every Christian in a way, because Southern Baptists have a most significant influence in the whole Christian world. May God give them guidance. May He give us all guidance and grace and wisdom as we try to meet the challenge that this particular case has thrown at us. You know, I'm sure some of you, that in our local church we have several problems that are most explosive in their nature, that could cause great trouble in this local church right here on our campus. I'm not forgetting, as best I know how, to pray that we may find the right and wise and godly way through there. And each time I pray, as I start out thinking, "Oh Lord, what a predicament we're in," or something to that effect, I then remember the words of my friend and say, "But I will start this by deep consciousness of God, and then will I be able to consider better the press of our present predicament in the church." And I know that you are well acquainted with the fact that we have some students, and one who so earnestly desired to be a student here, who have and who has personal problem and problems. May we be thinking of those who need our prayer. Some of them are weak physically and very likely will have to drop out of school before even the first semester ends. They are our brethren, and it's a most discouraging and frustrating thing to come to a place like this and then to find yourself defeated by physical ills, by financial distress perhaps, or for any other reason. It's then that we ought to stand by each other and say, I am your Christian friend and your brother. And so, the essence of what I have to say today is this. Let us, instead of being aware only of the problems that beset us, of the shots that seem about to go off and perchance find us as their targets, let us begin our thinking about such things by acknowledging the presence and the power and the grace and the wisdom of Almighty God. I think Edvard Schweitzer, who spoke to us here 2 or 3 years ago, is absolutely right when he calls attention in one of his finest lectures, it seems to me, to the fact that Jesus himself did not count upon himself, did not try to exalt himself, did not try to draw men unto him, save as he, in drawing them, he could point them to the Father. He was constantly in search of the Father's will. Jesus, then, is trying to say to us something of the greatness of God and to lead us into the consciousness of the fullness of the presence of God. May we bow together in prayer. Almighty Father, we would know thee better, love thee more sincerely, center our lives in thee. Grant to us thy presence through the Holy Spirit, that we may think aright and act aright and love aright. In Jesus' name.